The Secret's Out with Anita Farelli and host Alan Coote.
So I'm here with Anita Farelli. Anita, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the series so far. I want to talk to you about Jack the Archer from your book, The Big Butt. First of all, why Jack? Why an archer? Oh, tell me all about it.
Yes, the archer, the concept of the archer in the book is twofold. As I've mentioned previously, the fact that the archer indicates precision, aiming for a target, being focused. But more so, for me, I love the idea of an archer being given to every human, every mortal, from the moment they're born until the moment they die, to be there as a benevolent being to look after them and to give them everything that they desire. And they're meant to be a link between the human world and the world of the gods, you know, with Zeus involved in it. So I kind of love that thought about it. But also with the archer in the book, the main character, the archer actually has a number. When the main character asks them what they're called, they give a number, which sounds like a pin number. And then, so the main character says, "You remind me of someone called Jack. I'm going to call you Jack." And what I like about the concept of an archer is that your archer can look like anybody you want them to look like. They could be a relative who's passed away. They could be a celebrity. They could be anybody, someone who inspires you. And they can have any name that you want to give them. And so this is the person who's going to give you anything that you desire. So from that perspective, it should be someone that makes you smile when you think about them. It should be somebody that when you think of their name or when you ask them for direction or help or advice, it's someone that makes you smile.
Do you have to have this sort of literal sense of a person being the archer, or can it be sort of a mixture of anybody that you want?
It can be. What's amazing about this is that you can use your imagination. I believe that I have an archer who's trying to give me anything that I desire. So on the way here this morning, I asked my archer to help me make coherent sentences. You're not doing very well. And to be able to get the point across that I wanted to get across. And sometimes just having that belief in something helps it become real and helps it become true.
So make it real. No, he is doing a great job, by the way.
Oh, good.
In the book, it's really several funny scenes, actually. And I'm not going to give too much away, but there's a thing that Jack the archer says, "Load one arrow." So why that? What does that mean?
The load one arrow is, when we talk about the law of attraction, it's often shortened to just three letters, which is LOA, which stands for law of attraction. Right. But the archers in the book, according to Jack, the archers call it LOA, for load one arrow. And what they have is, the archers have this quiver on their back, which is empty. But whenever you think of something, we have this analogy in the book of bronze, silver, and gold arrows. So a bronze arrow, they deliver you something that makes you feel good for a few minutes. They can deliver a silver arrow, which makes you feel good for longer. And in the book, the archer delivered a holiday. The main character won a holiday to St. Lucia. And that was as a result of a silver arrow. And a gold arrow is something that is life-changing, something that has a massive impact on you. So that could be meeting the partner of your dreams. It could be getting the job you really want. It could be anything like that. So with the quiver, what they do is, when you have an ask, which is you want something from your archer, they will load up an arrow. And if it's a car parking space, for example, people call it the parking fairy. I know my sister does. It's the parking fairy. So that's a bronze arrow, load it up, makes you happy for a short moment because you've arrived at your destination, you've got a parking space and you've got it. And there's some really good examples of that in the book where the main character sort of struggles with it and has ideas that don't really match what the archer is trying to explain to them. Then you have the silver arrow, which is something a little bit more substantial to have it. But with the quiver, whenever there's an ask, the archer has to load up the arrow and fire it at the human who is their charge, which is what they call them. Now, when they fire that arrow, with any archer who's trying to shoot an arrow, they have to have a target to hit, a target that's not moving, a target that's not flip-flopping from, do I want this? Oh, I don't know. Do I want this really? Or maybe this would be better, or maybe that would be easier. So you imagine an archer trying to hit this, trying to hit that, trying to hit that. So that's why you have to be really clear about what you want in life. And then the archer has to aim and release the arrow. So the archer in the book tells the main character that you have to concentrate on what you want and focus on it for at least 10 seconds. And there's actually some psychological studies that say 17 seconds is enough to rewire your brain to accept a new thought into it as well, which I only found out after doing research after I'd channeled the book. So holding the thought in your head for 10 seconds with clear focus will help the archer hit the target.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how our brains are wired to preconceptions and limitations, and Jack the archer sort of goes through that, explains it to the main character in the book. So in terms of people that, like themselves, as they're going through this journey, the one that you've taken people on and you've been on before, how important is sort of visualization? Because it seems to me that's quite important to people as they sort of think about the law of attraction.
Visualization, if I'm honest with you, that's what I was always struggling with in my own law of attraction journey. I always thought, I'm not very good at visualization. So as you think, so shall it be. I was never any good at visualization. And what I mean by visualization is having a vivid mental image of something that you desire. But in the book, the archer explains that you don't visualize to create. Your thought creates. So the thought created the gate. And then what visualization does is it helps that thought to grow.
And the gate was a bit that we spoke about in an earlier episode.
Yes.
About how things
happen. How everything around us started as a thought. Yeah. So everything that we see in the world around us started as a thought. Another way of looking at it is that if you imagine the thought is a seed and it's been planted in the ground, and this is a common concept in the law of attraction, the idea of a seed. When it's buried in the dark, that's when it's doing all its growing. We can't see it. Every time you're pulling away the soil to look at the seed, you're disturbing the dark, and the seed will take longer to grow. So have the thought, trust your archer is going to deliver it to you. The thought is there, it's growing. The archer might be developing opportunities and people to come into your path and create things for you. And the way I see visualization now is as a bottle of fertilizer. So the seed is growing, it's emerging, and visualizing what you want is actually fertilizing your dream or fertilizing your desire. And we can do that in many ways through meditation, mindfulness, but what you have to do when you focus on what you want is you have to feel the emotion of it. In the book, Jack is trying to explain to the main character about going on a holiday. Now, you can go on a holiday, you can sit and you can imagine. And this is the difference between daydreaming and visualizing.
I was going to ask you about daydreaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between daydreaming and visualizing. Daydreaming is just having a thought about something. Once you attach an emotion to a thought, you supercharge it. So imagine you want to go on holiday to a beach. Take a few minutes out of your day. Imagine where you want to go. Feel the warmth on your skin. Pick up a really ice cold drink and feel how cold it is in your hand. Walk on the sand barefoot and feel the sand under your feet. If you can do that and maintain that thought, you've started the process of manifestation. You're visualizing what you want. That visualization is fertilizing the dream, the thought you had in the first place.
So if I understand you, it's about trying to make it as real as possible. So very different from daydreaming, where our mind goes all over the place and we might daydream about things that quite clearly, you know, are unrealistic, to say the least. But this is very different. This is actually using visualization, using your mind to actually make things as real as possible in your mind. Am I right in summarizing that?
There's actually a process called Reticular Activating System, or RAS, which is where you almost convincing your brain that something is real, that it has become a reality.
So that reality, really important part of the law of attraction as well. It's not just, I think you mentioned it, woo-woo. It's actually really working with your mind and getting your mind in the right place so that the law of attraction can help you move forward. Have I summarized that?
Okay, let me give you an example of the power of thought or the power of the brain. Spiders, some people, and sorry if that's triggered you, but let's look at a spider. Now, spiders don't bother me. If I see a spider on the floor, I would pick up a glass and a piece of paper and I would evict the spider. But I have friends who go into an absolute panic at the thought of seeing a spider. They will stand on a chair, get up on the sofa, their heart rate will increase, they will sweat. A thought of a spider is creating a physical reaction in this person, but it's just a spider, and it's how we react to it. So our thoughts are incredibly powerful. So if your thought can create a physical reaction in the body, just imagine what a concentrated thought can do.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about phobias necessarily, but that whole aspect of phobias actually making that physiological difference in your body, that's, I think it's worth bearing that in mind. If it could do that, like you say, switching the mind around can definitely help and make some more positive things happen. So you mentioned about focusing. So tell me a little bit about focusing for a moment and how that's really important.
There's a quote. It's from Alexander Graham Bell. It's, concentrate all your thoughts upon the work at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought to a focus. I love that quote because in the book we use a magnifying glass analogy. And if you think of a magnifying glass on a sunny day, you keep moving it around a piece of wood and you create little puddles of light. But as soon as you move the magnifying glass away, they disappear. So you don't leave anything long lasting. So by concentrating on this for a minute, focusing on that for a moment, thinking, I want to be an airline pilot, and then looking into it and realizing it's too difficult, then thinking, I want to be a nurse, and thinking, I'm not sure I could cope with bodily fluids, potentially. You're moving things around. So you think you are creating, you think you are moving towards the right career or the right job or something, but you're not creating any focus on that. With a magnifying glass, you move it around, you create these puddles of light, but they're not long lasting. When you focus and really concentrate on something, if you hold a magnifying glass on a piece of wood, you will burn it and you will change it forever. It's really hard to measure whether we're good at focusing or not. How do you know if you're very good at focusing or if I'm good at focusing? So what I've done is I've actually written a very short course, and there's a free quiz on the website that you can take, which will measure whether you're good at focusing or not.
Well, that's really useful. Again, Anita, has been absolutely fantastic talking to you. We haven't fitted in everything I wanted to talk about. So we're going to talk more. In the meantime, the book is available. It's called The Big But. Where is it available and how can people find out more?
So the books are available on Amazon, Apple Books and Barnes & Noble as Nook. There's also going to be there are free resources on the LOA Hub website. And there are also going to be some meetups where people can talk to each other and discuss more about the law of attraction.
Anita Farrelly, thanks very much.
Thank you, Alan.